sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
You're listening to That's a Freebie, the only podcast that mixes all the latest news from my little world with interesting stories from the rest of the world. As always, I am your host, Diggy. And as always, that was a weird way to say it. And as always, I'm going to open up the show with an Ask a Freebie question. This is where I answer questions from all of you. This week's question is from a friend of the show, Tom. Not actually a question, more of an observation, but some lovely facts in there. So I am going to include it in this section. And Tom says, lots of minis on the road. I couldn't help but find out more. Here are some mini facts. This is obviously in response to the mini game that I've mentioned in the past few shows. According to stillontheroad.co.uk, there are currently 846,365 minis on the road out of a total of 22,540,024 in total in the UK. This makes them the UK's 11th most driven car. The Mini Cooper is the most popular model with 679,691 models sold. I wonder what percentage of the UK Mini population you will have seen by the end of the Mini game. A lot. I can certainly tell you a lot. I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but one member of the family, you can probably guess who, is almost at 300 Minis, which is pretty impressive, actually. And Tom follows up with, I totally just Googled this and went with the first website I found, which is always the factual way of doing these things, right? Thank you very much for that, Tom. If you would like to ask a question to open up the show, all you need to do is head to the show notes, or you can go to thatsfreebie.com. You'll find links to the new multi-purpose feedback form that not only allows you to submit and ask a freebie question, but allows for submitting questions for podtails and also for general feedback. So what happened this week? This week, I have got three stories to tell you from the week. Well, they're not all from the week. Two of them are from the week. One of them is a story from yesteryear, as one might say. We started the week by going to Lime Park, making use of our National Trust membership. Mentioned it before, you should totally join. Some great days out there. Lime Park is a place we'd never actually been to. And whenever we saw like the listing on the National Trust website, we always looked at it and thought, well, I did, I can't speak for everybody, but I looked at it and thought, meh, doesn't look that interesting really there. Let's skip that one and go somewhere else. Anyway, this week was the week where we finally went, no, let's actually try that place. And it's amazing. You should absolutely go. So there's a big manor there. You get to walk around the manor and have a look around. It's enormous. It's like any other manor. There's nothing particularly different about it, other than that it is interesting to walk around and see all the rooms set up as they were back in ye olden days. But what was the best thing about it is about halfway around the manor, there's a section where you get to dress up. Now, a lot of places have this. You basically, there's a coat rack with a few cloaks on, you know, just clothes from the time period that the manor was at its peak, I suppose. However, this is not that. This is a full-on dressing room where a member of staff dresses you and finds you an outfit to wear, and then you get an hour and a half to go and walk around in it. And so we did that. It was great. We all walked around in our Regency outfits. It was pretty amazing. I'll, if you want to see some pictures, I will actually post them on the That's a Freebie Mastodon and Threads, I think. I'll post them on both of there. So feel free to go and have a look at that. The links to both of those are in the show notes, so you can always go and have a look. It was just dead interesting, and it was really fun getting to walk around in them. I enjoyed it far more than I thought I would. One of the interesting things is, so I got to walk around with a cane, which was nice. And the boy, Toby, asked if he could have a cane. And she said, no, they can't give canes out to the children because little boys tend to try and use them as swords. And he kept saying, I promise I won't use it as a sword. Please, can I have a cane? And he just wanted to look cool with a cane, right? That's what it was. But she said, well, I'll think about it. She obviously meant no and hoped that he would forget about it and was sort of giving us the side eye to say, try and get him off that path because I can't give him one, you know, that kind of thing. And I was trying to give him the side eye saying, Toby, just chill. I'll give you my cane as soon as we get outside. Don't worry about it. But he wasn't getting that. Anyway, I whispered it to him when we were getting changed because we went and got in the changing rooms and me and him got changed together. And I whispered it to him then. So he's like, oh, awesome. So anyway, we get outside. And remember, the reason why they couldn't give him a cane was because boys tend to use them as swords. So I said to him, here is my cane. However, the bottom of it needs to stay on the floor, apart from when you're walking. Can't use it as a sword. It doesn't get raised in the air. As soon as it does, we'll be in trouble. He said, all right. He got to the end of the first corridor, swung it in the air, and went, yeah, and tried to use it as a sword. And I went, Toby, what are you doing? And he went, oh, I forgot. Like, 10 seconds. He lasted 10 seconds before he forgot. It was still fun, though. I let him keep the cane. It was fine. He didn't do it again after that. Story number two from this week. What order shall I do these in? I always struggle to decide what the best order is. I will tell you the story of yesteryear first. This is another mini story. It's funny the things that keep popping into my head the more I talk about stuff from the past. So I've told you before about the mini I had. I used to drive around blasting the cores out really, really loud. And there was one time that I was driving the car and I'd become sort of the designated, I pick up and drop everybody off from work kind of person of my own doing. Nobody sort of pushed me into it. In fact, actually, thinking back about it, they were all quite good about it. I used to work in a garage at the time. I worked in a garage for about 9 years, I think it was, before I finally gave up on it because I didn't like the winters. It was cold, it was wet. Snow used to drip off cars, down your overalls, and it was freezing, and your hands were constantly filthy. Anyone that knows me knows that I don't like to be filthy. Yeah, whatever. And I just wasn't enjoying it, so I stopped, basically. However, while I was there, I would pick everybody. Well, I say everybody, two people. It was only like four of us that worked there. But two of them lived near me, so I would pick them up. They would never actually let me drop them off all the way at home. They basically said, no, you drop us off at the end of like the main road and we'll walk the rest of the way. Thinking about it now, it was like they used to say, don't let people take advantage of you like that. And I get why now. I didn't at the time. I was like, I don't mind doing it, but it's funny how that changes over the years, isn't it? I never really mind giving people a lift, but it's amazing the things that people will ask you to do because you're a person that says yes. Anyway, that was a tangent, wasn't it? I decided to go a different way than what I usually did because I knew there was roadworks essentially at the end of this road. So I went this different way. What I didn't realize is that roadworks extended down to this area as well. And it took me by surprise. And I was a fairly new driver. I'd probably only been driving for, I'd say, a month or so at the time. I hope it was only a month because otherwise it was really stupid. I mean, it was really stupid anyway. I get that. But I come to the end of this road and I needed to turn right. So I come to the end of the road. I looked both ways, saw that my exit was clear, turned right. And as I did that, the two people in the back seat went, whoa, what are you doing? And I was like, what? And it was at that moment I realized I f***ed up. It turns out the reason why my exit was clear was because there was temporary traffic lights. And I hadn't realized that the traffic lights, that I'd seen them, I just hadn't realized that they applied to me as well. I thought everything was going to be hunky-dory. Nope, it turns into a stream of oncoming traffic that were driving down the wrong side of the road because, obviously, their lane was closed. They were supposed to be doing. They had the green light. We had the red light. I panicked, and I threw the car up onto the pavement. I drove down the pavement, round the mall. Everyone's honking the horns. People are shouting obscenities out the window. Rightfully so, because that was the dumbest thing I could do. I was unbelievably lucky that there was nobody walking down that pavement at the time, because it was also a very busy area. Usually there would be like at least five or six people just walking there. It was in front of a pub as well. So there's usually people stood outside this pub. I was so lucky. And I think the only reason for it is there was also some scaffolding up as well. And I think the scaffolding made it uncomfortable to be there, you know, like it, you weren't able to get yourself in the place you normally would be in. Oh man, I was so lucky. I got back on the road after I got past all the traffic lights and everything. And I'm driving along and one of the guys says, right, pull over. So I pulled over and he's like, right, I will drive the rest of the way home because you're not in a fit state to drive right now. I was full on like freaking out. And he drove to my house with me. When we dropped the other guy off first, he drove to my house, parked my car up outside, and he went, right, don't get in the car again till tomorrow morning and think about what you did. I was like, yeah, all right, thanks. And he walked home the rest of the way from there. I think when I look back, because everybody makes mistakes when driving, nobody's perfect. And if you think you are, you've made loads of mistakes and you're oblivious to them because you do. Probably every time you go out in the car, there's something silly that you might do, or you might make a lane change that was a bit inconvenient to somebody else and you've not noticed, all that kind of stuff. But that was flat out dumb. Like, it was stupid. And I still look back on that and cringe. It does mean, though, that turned me into, I think, a better driver, because I pay so much more attention now when I'm driving. I'm that person who, you know, when you're coming up to a give way and you get some people that will just roll through it because they can tell that it's free, I will always stop. And people beep at me, but you're supposed to stop, so I don't care. I do that. Yep. Very interesting mistake that I made that still haunts me to this day. And another mini story, funnily enough. Story of the week, the third, is that this week we decided to... Well, I say we decided. The kids have been asking for a very, very long time. And it just so happened that it was thrust upon us in that they went to a party somewhere and got talking to somebody who did this, and we decided to go with it, and that is karate lessons. So the children have been asking for it for a while. We've actually been thinking that it might be good for Fina, because she has issues with anger, things I've discussed before. And so we thought, you know, let's maybe take her for these karate lessons. We asked her, she's decided yes, she wanted to do it. The boy, you know, he's obsessed with being a ninja, so he's obviously going to want to do it. And they said, well, you do it as well. And I said, all right, I could do with some exercise, because I've not been going to the gym like I'm supposed to be doing. That's why you've not had a gym update for a while, actually, thinking about it, because it's not been on my mind. And so we went to this karate lesson. We all lines up in the thing, and we started, and we, you know, he showed us the stance to make, and I'd done karate a long time ago when I was a child. I remembered most of it, which was quite good. It made me feel a little bit less self-conscious, because I was the only adult there amongst a load of children that were all like 8 years old. And as soon as it started, Fina froze up. There were just too many people there for her. And so she decided she didn't want to do it anymore, which often happens with things like this. So what we do is we'll let her sit at the sidelines and just try and get her involved bit by bit. And hopefully she'll eventually want to do it again. And if she doesn't, that's okay. If she doesn't want to do karate, we're not going to make her do karate. But basically, she went and sat at the side, me and Toby carried on, and it was hell, but in a good way. I was dripping with sweat by the end of it. It's not only learning karate moves, but it has exercise in it. We were doing burpees, we were doing squats, sit-ups, all in between. So what you'd have to do, you have to run and do a block, then you'd have to do 5 squats, then you'd run and do a kick, essentially, and after that you had to do 5 burpees, and then you'd run and do a punch, and then you'd have to do more squats, and so on and so forth. And this thing went on for about 40 minutes, and I was absolutely exhausted by the end of it. This was 2 days ago, and I'm still aching. I can barely lift my arms without pain. I actually have to take paracetamol in the morning to try and ease the pain a little bit, which is a good sign, I suppose, that I had a good workout. Toby keeps saying the same. He says, I don't understand why, Dad, but my arms hurt. but it feels like my entire arm and my legs as well. So he's obviously had a bit of a workout as well, which is good. What I did like about it is, well, first of all, it was actually enjoyable. It was good exercise, and I did it. I didn't get to that stage where, like, if I was in the gym and I got like halfway through that, I would have gone, oh, I'll ease off a little bit now because it's starting to hurt or I'm starting to struggle. Because there was other people there holding me accountable, I just went for it and I just had to keep doing it. And so we've signed up. We're going to go every Monday. So I'll probably keep you up to date on that. And hopefully a good bit of exercise that will keep me doing it because I've got no choice but to keep doing it. Yeah. So now we do karate. The other day we were coming out of the supermarket and we were in a huge rush. Like we were late for something. I can't even remember what it was for, but we were super, super late for something. And we had to go to Asda first because we needed some and we couldn't go afterwards. That's not important really. What is important is as we came out, you know, this whole where I've said that they've set up a way in and way out of our local Asda now. What I've noticed is because there's now a specific way you come out, like no matter which way you come in, because you can still go in both ways technically, but no matter which way you go in, you will always use the same exit because of where the tills are. I've noticed that the people that sit there trying to get you to sign up for stuff have discovered that the best place to perch themselves now is directly outside that door. And I'm not even talking like near that door, like directly outside that door. You have to sidestep around them to get out, which is a little bit frustrating to the point where I actually think I'm probably going to complain, which it's not like me. I'm going to write a letter and complain kind of person, really. But it's getting stupid. Like you try to get out of Asda now, and for so many people getting accosted at the doorway trying to get you to sign up to, I don't know, like Octopus Energy or something like that. I don't even know if they still exist, but it's all that kind of stuff. You know, trying to get you to sign up to broadband and all that. But you can't get out of the door anymore. It's stupid. But the thing that really annoyed me, the thing that is getting told to buzz off is the other day, on that particular day when we were in a rush, we went to come out and a lady shouts at us, can I just ask you a few questions? And I said, nope, I'm really sorry. We're in a huge rush and we really, really need to go. And she said, oh, it'll only take a minute. And I went, no, we're in a huge rush. We really, really need to go. And then she said something. I can't actually remember what it was she said, but it made me stop. And I turned and I said, pardon? And she said, just look at this. And I was like, oh, okay, let me go and have a look. And I said, and as I was walking over to her, I said, I think she said, I just want to give you something. I think that's what it was. And as I was walking over, I said, if you're going to try and get me to sign up for anything or read anything, I genuinely don't have time and I will just walk off. And she went, okay. And then she held an iPad up to me and she said, can you just pop your email address in there? And I went, no, you're obviously not very good at listening, are you? I just couldn't believe like what she was doing. Anyway, I turned to all the colleagues and I went, you might want to retrain her because she's not very good at actually paying attention. I've said no to her three times now and she keeps trying to get me to come over. And they all started laughing, obviously, because they thought it was funny that somebody was being a bit of an ass with them. I couldn't believe her that it's so annoying then. I can't remember the exact words she said, but she kept trying to trick us into going over. And I said, if there's anything you need me to fill out, I can't do it. And then she starts trying to hand me a form to fill out. Anyway, a bit annoying. And it was Money Supermarket trying to save us money on our electricity bill, she said. And yeah, she could buzz off. And the other one is the Metrolink, obviously, because why? What? As I've said before, what is this show without a tram story? The Metrolink have decided that it's a good idea to force people to use the Cornbrook stop. So what happens now is the trams from the Trafford Centre no longer go to Deansgate Castlefield, they go to Cornbrook. Now, that's how it used to be. And I think one of the reasons they changed it is Cornbrook is absolutely feral, right? It's a horrible place to stand and wait for your tram. Horrible. Like, I wish they would at least go down another stop to Pomona or somewhere like that. Now, it does pass by there, but not to go into Manchester, only to get back. And essentially what's happened is they're doing some works in the city centre, and for whatever reason, that means that the tram can't go to Deansgate Castlefield anymore. Probably just because it's easier to plan the journeys for the other trams that do go into the centre. But in their infinite wisdom, they've decided that the best thing to do is force everyone to change at Carnbrook. And that's historically been a bad thing. So in the 2 days that they've been doing that, the first day, whilst I was stood waiting for the tram, the stop set on fire, right? This sums Carnbrook up. We're all sat there and we're like, what's that smell? And when we turned around, there's a blazing fire starting just under the track, and the smoke coming out from underneath the bridge. So it turns out somebody had set the bridge on fire underneath. I was quite lucky it didn't disrupt my journey. The tram came, blah, blah, blah. Day one, it sets on fire. Day two is a day when football is on. So that's never great for the trams anyway, because it's just full of drunk people being very loud, essentially, which is never comfortable on your journey home. No one wants that, right? However, this particular day, the number of people that piled out of a tram, right, to change at Carnbrook, well, it was like three or four trams in a row. There was no room on the platform anymore. But if that isn't enough, what then happens is they started to get really rowdy. And the next tram that came, they all tried to fit on it and couldn't fit on it. So the doors weren't closing. People started punching the windows and shaking the tram. The tram was rocking. I'd never seen a tram rock before. And they're punching the windows, punching the tram. This woman had a foot stuck in the door, not stuck in the door, but in the doorway. So the tram door wouldn't shut because it could sense that the foot was there. The tram driver kept yelling over the tannoy, "Move your foot out of the door." It was the only door that was open. And she was so drunk, she wasn't even getting what was happening. So then somebody booted her from the outside, like literally just like full on booted her into the tram. And then she decided that the best thing to do would be to charge and attack this person. But as she did it, the doors closed. So she smashed into the door and starts punching at the door. And I could see blood coming off her knuckles spreading on the inside of the door. And then the tram drove off. And as the tram drove off, the door split open and she fell out as it had started moving. So she fell out onto the platform. And then, of course, a big fight ensued. People try to split it up, all kinds of stuff. It was an absolute nightmare. It's Metrolink, sack Carnbrook off. That shouldn't be your main stop for changing. I realise it's probably convenient, but it needs to spread over several stops. It's the only way to make that possible, because it's just awful, especially on match days. Terrible. For this week's Pod Tales, I want you to imagine something. So I want you to close your eyes and I want you to imagine this. You're laying in bed and you're about to drift off to sleep. And then suddenly, boom, you hear a loud bang, like fireworks going off in your head, like boom, 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 boom. I imagine that's what it sounds like. I've never actually experienced this. But when you open your eyes, there's nothing there. No fireworks, no burglars, just silence. If this sounds familiar, you might have experienced exploding head syndrome. Now that sounds dramatic, right? But don't worry, it's not as terrifying as it seems. EHS is actually a harmless phenomenon where people hear loud noises like explosions or crashes right as they're falling asleep or waking up. It's not painful, just a bit startling. Some folks also report that seeing a flash of light or feeling like there's static electricity buzzing in their head. While it can be scary, especially the first time it happens, EHS isn't dangerous, and it doesn't mean anything serious is wrong. Most people only experience it occasionally, and it doesn't stick around for long. But here's the tricky part. We don't exactly know why EHS happens. Scientists have tossed around a few ideas, but nothing has been proven yet. Some think it could be related to the brain's transition between being awake and asleep, like the brain is having a little hiccup. Other theories point towards things like stress, broken sleep, or even ear issues, but none of these are confirmed. So while the cause is still a mystery, it doesn't seem to be anything too concerning. So how do you know if you have EHS? If you're hearing loud bangs or crashes when there's no actual noise around, especially when you're just about to fall asleep or waking up, you might have EHS. It's classified as a sleep disorder because it happens while you're dozing off or waking up. Interestingly, some people also feel their heart race, get sweaty, or feel like they've stopped breathing for a second. But don't worry, you are actually breathing. There's no specific treatment for EHS, but the good news is that it often doesn't need any. Just knowing that what it is and that it's not harmful is usually enough to help people relax. In some cases, doctors might suggest certain medications if the episodes are really frequent or bothersome. But it's pretty rare that treatment is needed. So who gets it? Well, it's hard to say. It's really hard to say how many people experience EHS because many, as you might imagine, don't report it. I imagine a lot of people think they're just going crazy. But some studies suggested it affects about 10% of people, with women being more commonly infected. It might even be more common among people who also deal with sleep paralysis. Now, I have noticed a little pattern with a lot of these. It always says that it affects women more commonly. And I wonder, actually, if that is because women are more likely to report something like this. Because in general, men have a tendency to just get on with things. And, well, no, that makes it sound like women are moaners. That's not what I mean at all. We have a tendency to ignore things is probably a better example. Not go to the doctors, not report an issue. And whereas women are more like, you know what, this is a problem. I'm going to go and seek help for it. So I wonder if that's why a lot of these things, it seems to affect women more commonly. I don't know, just a thought. The first mention of something like EHS was all the way back in 1876. A doctor named Silas Weir described what he called sensory discharges in a patient. And then in 1988, the name exploding head syndrome was officially coined by a British neurologist. Some people have suggested renaming it to something a little less alarming, but for now, exploding head syndrome sticks. So if you've ever experienced that sudden, mysterious bang in your head, don't worry. Your brain isn't actually exploding. EHS might sound wild, but it's more of a sleep quirk than anything else. And while it's surprising, it's also completely harmless. So yeah, that was exploding head syndrome. You could impress your friends with your new knowledge. I had no idea that this existed until I started researching sleep disorders for the Summer of Sleep. Speaking of the Summer of Sleep, that is the last episode of the Summer of Sleep. We will be resuming normal Podtails programming for the next few weeks, and I may have a theme coming up for the winter. Not 100% sure yet. I'm still in the planning stages of that. But don't forget, if you would like to send in your own topics for Podtails, please do so. Head to thatsafreebie.com or click the link in the show notes to go to the feedback form. If you want even more That's a Freebie, then you should join That's a Freebie Plus. Just head over to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com and click the link. You can join for just £4 a month. Your membership gets you the plus feed of the show that's sent out immediately after it's recorded, and it includes almost zero edits. I do take out some long gaps from it just to make it a little bit more polished for you to listen to be honest. And then that means you also get to hear me plan the show, the mistakes that I make, how often I actually have to restart things before I start recording a section, which happens from time to time. You also hear me combating the recording issues that I sometimes have. So sometimes interesting to see what goes on a little bit behind the scenes of the recording of a podcast. And the Plus feed will give you access to that. And it also includes the That's a Freebie Plus segment that's always at the end of the show. And in this week's section, I'll be talking about the book 11-22-63 in the That's a Freebie Plus book club. And if you can't or you don't want to join, that is okay. You can still help out by sharing the show far and wide. And the absolute best thing you can do, and this is also if you are a That's a Freebie Plus listener, you can go to your podcast client of choice, and you can leave a review for the show. And that actually makes a huge difference because it means I'm more likely to get recommended to other people. This week's podcast of the week is a little bit of a different one to the usual ones. You've probably noticed a pattern that most of my podcasts are tech-related. The next one I want to recommend to you is a podcast called Downstream. That's Downstream, just in case you can't tell what I'm saying. And obviously, there will be a link to that in the show notes as well. This is, I mean, it's tech adjacent. There's no doubt about that. But it's about the business of streaming. And it's super interesting. Like, you might think to yourself sometimes, you know, like, why does Netflix do this way? And why does Disney Plus do the same thing, but in a different way? Or, you know, what is going on with these companies? And why do they behave the way they do? You know, why are they adding ad tiers, for example? And they discuss that kind of stuff. It's really good. It's Jason Snell, and currently he's rotating through co-hosts. There was another co-host on there, but that person has gone to work for a streaming company because she was an absolute expert in that kind of stuff, and it's absolutely not surprising. But it's an interesting podcast. It's pretty short. They do it where they do like a plus version of it, where you get an extra long one every 2 weeks. And then a shorter version of it the other weeks. I don't subscribe to this one because I'm not as into that kind of news as I need to be. And it's just handy to be able to understand some of the things that are happening. So I do like the shorter episodes of it. So I even if I did subscribe to it, I probably would still listen to the shorter episodes, to be truthful. It's good. It's a really good podcast. Even if you only listen to a few episodes of it, it's just a good idea to get your head around why certain things are happening, like, you know, why the password crackdown and, you know, the sharing thing. And the ads thing is actually very interesting as to why they do it and how they do it in certain ways, and definitely worth a listen. That's Downstream, and it is also part of Relay FM, or Relay, as they are now called. I made a terrible mistake earlier on in the week as well. I accidentally handed my wife a glue stick instead of a chapstick. And, well, as you can imagine, she still isn't speaking to me.